we find a startlingly straightforward method for carrying out our mission of making Jesus known. And that method is the everyday personal witness of ordinary believers. How can we make Jesus known? We do it through the personal witness of ordinary believers, one person telling another person about Jesus. And that's exactly what we see in John chapter 1. So open up with me to John chapter 1, page 1050, John chapter 1. And look with me at verse 35, John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Our passage tonight begins with John the Baptist pointing out Jesus as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. And when John the Baptist does that, two of his disciples leave him and go to follow Jesus. Now, one of those disciples, we're told a bit later on, is Andrew. The other disciple isn't named, but there's a very good chance that it's actually John himself, the writer of this gospel, who all through the book refuses to name himself. So Andrew and this other disciple begin to follow Jesus. And then look at what happens next. Look with me at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now, do you see what happened there? John the Baptist told Andrew about Jesus. And Andrew told his brother Simon Peter about Jesus. And then in the next passage, we see Philip doing exactly the same thing. Look at me at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Friends, here is the beginning of the church. And how does it begin? Through the personal witness of ordinary believers. Andrew tells his brother. Philip tells his friend, one person telling another person about Jesus. And so begins a chain reaction that continues on still today. Friends, you and I are here tonight because somebody told somebody else about Jesus, and that person told somebody else, and that person told somebody else, and that person told us. When we look at the world and we see the millions and millions of people who do not yet know Jesus, we can wonder how we will ever reach them. Well, John chapter 1 is a great reminder that we can reach them one person at a time through the personal testimony of ordinary believers. Friends, that is how God's kingdom grows, one person at a time. Now, perhaps you're sitting there and thinking to yourself, that's too slow. There's got to be a quicker, more efficient method if we're ever going to reach all of those people who do not yet know Jesus. Well, think about this. In 1959, Billy Graham preached at the MCG. And there were 143,000 people who came to listen. 143,000 people. The stands were packed. They actually let people down onto the ground itself. If you go to the MCG website, it says that this is the biggest crowd ever to go to the MCG. Imagine that. The record crowd at the MCG is actually for a preacher. 143,000 people went to listen. And on that night in 1959, about 30,000 people made a decision to follow Jesus. 30,000 people. Those numbers, they are mind-boggling. But now I want you to imagine that Billy Graham preaches to that many people every single day without taking a rest. And that every single day that he preaches, 30,000 people make the decision to follow Jesus. How long do you suppose it would take Billy Graham to reach the 6.9 billion people that live in our world? Well, in preparing for this sermon, I actually got the calculator out and I worked it out. It would take him about 630 years. But now imagine this. Imagine that you, an individual believer, lead one person to Jesus this year. Just one person. And next year, the two of you each lead one person to Jesus. And the following year, the four of you each lead one person to Jesus. How long do you suppose it would take to reach the 6.9 billion people living in our world today? About 33 years. Friends, how do we reach the millions, the billions of people who do not yet know Jesus? We reach them one person at a time. Now, don't hear me say that there's no place for people like Billy Graham. God has used Billy Graham in a remarkable way, but friends, we can't all be Billy Graham. We can't all be John the Baptist or the Apostle Peter, but we can all be like Andrew and Philip and tell the people that we know what we have found in Jesus. One of the things that I love about this passage is that Andrew and Philip, they're just ordinary guys. Let's take Andrew as the example. I imagine that most of us here wouldn't know very much about Andrew at all. He's barely mentioned in the New Testament. And even in this passage, where he's kind of the hero of the story, even in this passage, he's described in verse 40 as the brother of Simon Peter. Even in this passage, he is overshadowed by his brother. Andrew is just an ordinary guy. And yet what he does here must be one of the most significant moments in the history of the church. He leads his brother to Jesus, and his brother becomes the Apostle Peter, the guy who preached at Pentecost, the guy who wrote a couple of letters that ended up in the New Testament, the guy who led thousands of people to Jesus. Andrew's just an ordinary guy. But what he does here changed the world. And friends, that has happened again and again and again. God loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God loves to use ordinary people like Andrew, like me and you, to do extraordinary things. Many years ago in America, there was a guy named Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball taught a Sunday school class to some teenagers at his local church. And one day, Edward Kimball felt convicted that he needed to go and speak to one of the guys in his group. So he went to the shoe store where that guy worked, and he sat him down and he told him about Jesus and all that Jesus had done. And right there, on the spot, that young man decided to follow Jesus. That man was Dwight L. Moody, who would go on to preach the gospel to literally tens of millions of people. In time, Dwight Moody discipled a guy named Wilbur Chapman, who himself would become a great gospel preacher. Wilbur Chapman discipled a man named Billy Sunday, who's one of America's greatest ever evangelists. Billy Sunday preached the gospel to 90 million people over the course of his life. And through Billy Sunday's ministry, an organization was formed called the Christian Men's Club. The Christian Men's Club organized a series of evangelistic events in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was at one of those events that Billy Graham became a Christian. Friends, when Edward Kimball went into that shoe store, he could not have known the impact that that conversation about Jesus would have for the kingdom. He couldn't have known. And friends, neither can we. God loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And friends, God's kingdom grows when ordinary people like Andrew, like Edward Kimball, like me, like you, when ordinary people like us tell others about Jesus. Friends, that is what we need to do. We need to be proclaiming Jesus. We need to be pointing people to Jesus. Now, as we look at John chapter 1, and we see what Andrew and Philip do here, there's a very real sense that what they did was just the natural thing for them to do. They had found the Messiah. That was great news. And so it's natural that they would want to share that with other people, particularly people that they loved. And friends, that's how it should be for us, isn't it? We have found this great Saviour. We have this sure and certain hope because of Jesus. Isn't it natural for us to want to share that with other people? Imagine this. Imagine that you're working on a crossword puzzle. I'm not sure how many of you actually work on crossword puzzles, but just imagine. Imagine that you're at a friend's house and you work on this crossword puzzle together and you've basically solved all of it. There's just one word you can't figure out. And you work on it for ages and you can't work it out. Eventually you have to leave. As you're heading out the front gate of their house, you suddenly realise, you work it out. Ah, I know what that word is. What would you do? Wouldn't you go back to the front door and tell your friend that you'd worked it out? That's what we do, isn't it? It's natural to share good news with others. Well, friends, Jesus is much more than the solution to a crossword puzzle. He is the solution to our sin. It should be natural for us to want to share what we know of Jesus with others. So here's the question. Why is it then that sometimes we avoid talking about Jesus? Why? Why is that? Well, I guess there are probably all sorts of reasons. But two in particular jump to mind in light of this passage. First, I think that sometimes we avoid talking about Jesus because we feel like we don't know what to say. I mean, I'm sure that there are some people here who are natural, gifted evangelists, and you're never at a loss for words when it comes to talking to other people about Jesus. But I suspect that for many of us, we're not like that at all. Sometimes we're just not sure what to say. Well, if that's our struggle, then Andrew and Philip have a very helpful tip for us. Let's look again at what they say. Look with me, first of all, at verse 41. Andrew finds his brother Simon, and he tells him, "We have found the Messiah. We have found." And then look at verse 45. Look at what Philip says. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about." We have found. Notice that both Andrew and Philip talk about what Jesus means to them. Friends, I find that very helpful. When we aren't sure what to say to people, we can always talk about what Jesus means to us, what Jesus has done for us. We can share our testimony with people. That's what Andrew and Philip do. And think about what happens as a result. The world is changed forever. If we aren't sure what to say, we can always share with people what Jesus has done for us. How we met Jesus. Well, the second reason why I think we sometimes avoid talking about Jesus is because sometimes when we do, people respond negatively. Have you ever had that experience? You go to talk to someone about Jesus, you're excited, and they just roll their eyes at you. They just shake their head. Or worse still, they ask you a skeptical question that you don't know how to answer. Friends, I think it's sometimes the fear that that will happen that stops us from ever talking about Jesus in the first place. We don't want to bring the topic of Jesus up just in case someone responds negatively or someone asks us a tricky question that we don't know the answer to. Have you ever had that experience? Well, that's exactly what happened to Philip. Look at me again at verse 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. You see, Nathanael knows a thing or two. Nathanael knows that the Messiah, the Christ, is meant to come from Bethlehem. So how can this Jesus be the Messiah if he's from Nazareth? That's a valid question. And it seems that Philip might not know the answer. Fair enough. Philip himself, he's just met Jesus, and Philip has never celebrated Christmas. He's never sung the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Nathanael asks Philip a difficult question, and Philip's response is a great one. Now look with me again at verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Come and see for yourself, Nathanael. Come and check it out for yourself. Friends, there's always going to be questions that we don't know how to answer. But when that happens, all we need to do is invite people to come and see, to come and check out Jesus for themselves. When we raise the topic of Jesus with someone and they say to us, Christianity? Can anything good come from Christianity? We can say to them, come and see. Come and check out Jesus for yourself. Or when someone says to us, the Bible, how can a book that old be relevant to me today? We can say to them, come and see. Friends, we don't need to know all the answers to all the questions before we start to talk to people about Jesus. Because at the end of the day, if we can't say anything else, we can always invite people to come and check out Jesus for themselves. That's our invitation to people. Come and check out Jesus for yourself. Maybe we're not all gifted natural evangelists, but we can all say, come and see. In a couple of weeks, here at 6:45, we're starting a series all about Jesus. Why not invite someone to come along to church with you and check out Jesus for themselves? Or you could invite them to read a gospel with you, or go to your Bible study group, or you could give them a book to read and just invite them to come and see Jesus. Now, of course, there's going to be times when we invite people to church or to read a gospel and they say no. But when that happens, we must not give up hope. We need to persevere. Friends, how do we reach the millions, the billions of people who do not yet know Jesus? We reach them one person at a time. We reach them through the personal witness of ordinary believers. Ordinary believers like you and me who say to the people we know, we have found a wonderful Savior. Won't you come and check him out for yourself? Tonight is the beginning of Replant. We're starting this brand new 6:45 service, and we're doing it because we believe that it will help us to proclaim Jesus. But at the end of the day, just starting a new church service won't do anything unless we're inviting people to come and see Jesus. It's not about a new church service. It's not about advertising in the newspaper. It's not about having a flash website or a clever sign or great buildings. Those things might help. But at the end of the day, it's about the personal witness of ordinary believers. Friends, we need to be pointing people to Jesus. And the fact is, we can do that with great confidence because Jesus is awesome. If we feel overwhelmed when we look around at the millions of people in Sydney who do not yet know Jesus, we need to remember that Jesus is awesome. And John 1 reminds us of that. Did you notice what happened when Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus? Now look at me at verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Nathanael's confused here. See, he's never met Jesus. How does Jesus know him? Well, in verse 48, Jesus explains, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael's eyes bulge out of his head. How does Jesus know this? Now, to us, all of this is a bit of a mystery. We can't really be sure what Jesus and Nathanael are talking about here. But clearly, Jesus knows something about Nathanael that no human could know. Perhaps Nathanael had been praying under the fig tree. And somehow Jesus knows. And so Nathanael realizes who Jesus is. Look at me at verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus says to him, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Jesus says to Nathanael here, "You ain't seen nothing yet. Nathanael, if you hang around, you will see amazing things." If Nathanael hangs around, he will see amazing things because Jesus is awesome. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the King of Israel. He is the Son of God. He is the eternal Word become flesh. He is God. Friends, Jesus is real and he is alive and he is powerful and he is compassionate. Jesus is awesome. And that is why we can confidently say to people, "Come and see." That is why we can confidently invite people to come and check out Jesus for themselves, because if they do, if they will just come and see, they will see amazing things. Because Jesus is awesome. Friends, Jesus is awesome. We know that. So let's tell others. And as we do, let's remember, it's Jesus who saves people. It's Jesus who calls people to himself. That's not our job. We can't save anyone. It's Jesus' job. All we do is point people to Jesus. And friends, that is what we want to do. That is what we want 6:45 to be all about. We want to be proclaiming Jesus. In our own lives, when we meet together, we want to be proclaiming Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. Friends, will you join us in that? Perhaps you could start tonight, right now, by just taking a moment and thinking about the people that you know. Just think about the people you know. Is there someone that you could invite to that series about Jesus in 2 weeks? Is there someone that you could give a gospel to and invite them to read about Jesus for themselves? Is there someone that you could speak to tell them about what you have found in Jesus? Friends, let's proclaim Jesus together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those who told us about you. And we pray that you would use us to tell others. And we pray this for your glory. Amen.
Stand and sing.
Well, since this is our first ever 6:45 service, I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce the 6:45 oversight team. Now, just before they stand up, I'll just explain what the oversight team do. They're basically doing a couple of things. The first is that we, as an oversight team, want to care for and encourage you guys, help you to follow Jesus and to grow more like him. We're committed to doing that. The second thing, each oversight team member has a ministry area that they are overseeing, that they're helping us to think through and be organized to do. So what I might do is I'll get the oversight team to stand up, and then I'll introduce them and say what their ministry area is. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so Brent is doing social justice and community care, helping us to think through how we care for those who are in need, both in this area and in the wider world. Matt is doing evangelism, outreach and bridge building. Bridge building, it's a phrase that we've been using recently. For those of you who don't know, bridge building is, it's about building relationships with people who don't know Jesus before we have an opportunity to share with them about Jesus, just so that we can have real, genuine relationships with people because we care about them. So that's what Matt's doing. Scotty is doing logistics and administration, which is basically making sure that things happen and happen smoothly. Rihanna is doing hospitality, welcoming and integrating. So as a church, if we're serious about reaching out to people who don't know Jesus, we need to be ready to welcome them and we need to be ready to integrate them into our church family. So Rihanna's going to be helping us do that. Lauren is doing communications and promotion, so helping us be in communication with each other so everyone knows what's going on at 6:45, but also helping 6:45 to promote things that we're doing to the wider community. Paul is doing maturity and training, which is all about helping us to grow more like Jesus. And DB, who's up the back, is doing aesthetics and environment. He's looking after the space in which we meet. Thanks, oversight team. You can. One of the reasons that I told you that is if you've got any ideas, any suggestions about things we could be doing, please come and speak to us. If you can remember which particular oversight team member is doing which particular thing, that will help, but to speak to any of us and we'll point you in the right direction. And the second thing is please be praying for us. Please pray for the oversight team. We're committed to praying for you and we'd ask you to pray for us as well. And I think we might be about to pray now.